You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Raining Jays. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Thursday show as I try to keep track of my days. Celtics getting ready to take on the Phoenix Suns. Jay King joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. How you doing, Jay?
I'm Gucci, baby.
I always love when you're Gucci. coming up today, Jaylen Brown's wild prediction. Terry Rozier rumors. Fun. But we still have beef, and Jay King hasn't been able to talk about beef. And now we know you love beef. So, Jay King, the floor is yours. Kyrie Irving, Jamal Murray, flinging the ball up into the stands. The people are clamoring for words from you on this.
I just want to let the people know that I demanded this be on the show today. We probably still shouldn't be stretching this out into a several day conversation, but I haven't gotten a chance to chime in on the Kyrie beef yet. And it is just spectacular. I haven't seen this level of petty from the Celtics since Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas were still in town, just taking shots at everyone and clashing with the Washington Wizards and doing all that stuff. So I am in for it. My thoughts on the actual beef are that it's so stupid. It's like the dumbest beef that has ever been beefed. Like the guy's a 21-year-old who had 48 points, wanted to get 50. Should he have shot it? No, absolutely not. Should the Celtics be so offended that they tossed the ball into the stands and Marcus Smart issued a warning and all this stuff? No, it's not that serious. But if you're going to be offended like the Celtics were. Like that is that is just awesome. Kyrie Irving taking the game ball and launching it into the stands was amazing. Just a spectacular overreaction. And then coming back the next day, he started off his comments about the fine being like, yeah, I deserve that one. Like if it had hit somebody and hurt somebody, it would have been all my fault. Like I've got to hold myself accountable for that. Like he said all the things, all the right things. And then he pivoted and just decided to squash Jamal Murray. And so I love that. And the quote that was like, I felt disrespected after the game. So your career high ball goes into the stands. That was just miraculous. Just a money petty quote. So if you're going to grudge hard, and maybe next time don't allow a guy to score 48 points in the first place, if you're going to be so mad that he's going after 50, but like I said, if you're going to grudge, grudge hard, and the Celtics are the grudge masters in this case.
I just love that your take is basically, you shouldn't have reacted the way you did, but if you're going to go ahead and react that way, make it the most egregious, over-the-top reaction. Like, it's either you shouldn't react at all, or just be so goddamn ridiculous about it that I am entertained by your shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's all I ask. And my mentions yesterday were just like half the people were just roasting Kyrie. Other half were like, Kyrie's the god. And that's what I need. I just need polarizing Celtics. I need them to just rip people apart and pull people in and push people away. I need all of that shit. So I'm all in.
You need that for your own, like, excitement, or it gives you something to write about?
Just for my own excitement. I can't even write about beef like I used to. At Mass Live, like, I was a beef master, but at the Athletic, that's no longer my exact job description, to follow like every nook and cranny that happens. So it's not even about my job anymore. Now it's just for my sheer entertainment.
You just love beef. It sustains you.
Yeah. Yeah, it just builds me up. It makes me go. You can probably tell I'm just excited to talk about beef again.
Yeah, it's very exciting to talk about beef for you. Apparently, I think I'm kind of with you on the whole situation. I've said it a couple times here in the podcast, so I won't go repeating myself. I can see the level of disrespect that you're talking about. I think some of this is also their own frustration with themselves. Like, they shouldn't have let this guy score 48. So
I would have said that the first day. But when you come back the next day and you double down, and not only double down, but like push it even further, that's when it's not about your own frustration anymore. That was like a personal, they took it personally that Jamal Murray went for 50. And I'm so sad that their next matchup isn't until March.
Let me ask you this. Would you have shot that ball?
Well, first of all, I would have made the layup for 50 when he took a layup with like 20 seconds left. I probably not. Probably not. I don't think I would have been that big a jackass, honestly. Like, if they're not playing defense, you don't really shoot the three. Nobody ever shoots that three.
Right.
But I kind of respect it. I can kind of respect it. Like how many times are you going to have the opportunity to go for 50? And he was just like, you know what? Screw it. let me try to get this 50 spot.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I've said, he's a young kid. He's caught up in the emotion. But, like, I don't want 50 that way. I'd be more pissed that I missed that layup. Then if I'd hit that 50, it would have been a fake 50 to me. So take that 48 and go home.
No, 70 was a fake 70. The Devin Booker
definitely
was as fake,
a fake 70.
As fake as it gets.
Absolutely.
But 50, like, if you hit a 30-something footer at the buzzer,
cheap.
Not contested, it's a little cheap, but it was still like he was dragging them, totally gassed. He was absolutely exhausted the entire fourth quarter. Like, you could see it on his entire body language. He was just gassed. And then somehow pulling energy out of his ass to shoot, make some ridiculous shots. So that was as real a 48 as 48 gets.
Oh, and absolutely. The 48 is real. The 50 would have been fake. So just leave it at that. hit Jay up on Twitter at @ByJKing to continue this conversation about beef. You can tag me on it too, Reds_Army_John, if you haven't been following us on Twitter. And of course, since we're talking about Twitter, follow Lockdown NBA Net on Twitter. It's a big, mega, awesome feed of all the podcast hosts on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Everything, especially at game time, it's kind of cool to follow that, because all the games are going on at the same time, and you get everybody's kind of instant reaction. It's almost like you're watching along with everybody. At Lockdown NBA Net, make sure you follow that on Twitter and on Instagram. Lots of cool stuff going on Instagram, too. If you're an Instagram person, kind of snippets from our podcast, you get a little taste of everything that's going on in the network. So at Lockdown NBA Net on Twitter and Instagram. Hey, speaking of beef, Jay, Terry Rozier apparently maybe sort of has a beef with his playing time. Bill Simmons dropped the rumor today that he had heard that he has not been happy with his playing time, or at least somewhere in the Rozier sphere, somebody is not happy with his playing time. And he says the Celtics need to trade him. I don't know how that's going to happen, but let's get your reaction, first of all, to this rumor that Rozier has somehow not been happy with what he's been with the playing time that he's been getting.
First of all, I would say that Rozier has said all the right things throughout this season, even dating back to exit interviews last year when he said Kyrie Irving's a starter. I know I'm going back to the bench. He said earlier this season, Brad Stevens' job is tougher than anybody's. Like, he has so many guys he could play. I understand I'm not always going to play big minutes. So he gets it. But I think the fact that there is frustration or could be frustration is pretty predictable. And we talked about it throughout the summer, how they just have so many guys who deserve touches, so many guys who want touches, that it's hard to spread the wealth. And so I think the frustration is as predictable a problem as any. And, you know, all the time we spent discussing, you know, how guys would adjust to roles and how they would react personally to their roles adjusting, it's kind of bared out the first 10 games that those concerns were on the money. The Celtics offense, guys don't know when to go and get theirs. They don't know quite the pecking order, and they're not always consistently hunting the best shots for the team like they should be. And so I don't know how serious a concern Terry Rozier in particular is. He's always played hard. He's going to continue to play hard. I think I don't think like they need to trade Terry Rozier, and I think it would be stupid to just trade him, even if he is a bit disgruntled, because look, you want to contend for a title, and maybe Terry Rozier isn't in your long-term plans because you're already paying Kyrie. You're going to pay Kyrie Irving, assuming he does come back like he says he's going to. You're going to be paying him a ton of money. You got Marcus Smart getting a lot of money as a backup. You got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, who are all going to be max guys or very close to it for years. So monetarily, it may not keep sense to keep Terry Rozier, make sense to keep Terry Rozier beyond this season. But for this season, he can help you. He can be a differentiator, and their bench has been their best point through 10 games. They've switched a lot of games. They are a big plus, and Rozier is a serious part of that. So if you do make a trade, it's got to be one that doesn't hurt you this season, because if it hurts you this season, it may diminish whatever chance they have at a title. And obviously they haven't played like a true contender through 10 games, but it's really early, and they've got a lot of fixable things to work on, and they're going to play much better basketball this season. And Rozier's a big piece. So it's a problem that everyone could have foreseen. And assuming he is as frustrated as he reportedly is, then they'll have to deal with that. But it's something they were always going to have to deal with this season.
I would go out on a limb and say, if the Celtics, instead of being 6-4, were 8-2 or 9-1, we wouldn't be hearing about this frustration. I think a lot of this can be traced probably to the fact that he's often sitting on the bench during the end of games where the Celtics aren't closing teams out. And this was my biggest concern when we're talking about this going into this season. It's that it's all great when you're winning, because when you're winning and you're at the top of the conference and you're 9-1 at this point or whatever it is, that you can't complain because it's all working. But when players are sitting on the bench and the team is losing, the players on the bench are, and we've got a lot of really good players on the bench, those are guys who now can say, well, if we're not going to be winning with those guys, then put me in the game. So maybe, because I think we can win with me. So I want to believe that if the Celtics can figure this out and turn things around and start winning games and climb back to the top of the standings and stay there, that some of this frustration will go away, because you can't say a damn thing if the team is winning and your role is your role and that's it. Just accept it. Now, Rozier always knew that this was going to be his role. You can't be really pissed off that saying like this is some big surprise. Like, he knew going in that he's going back to that role that it was last year. He always knew going into this season that he was going to get about 25 minutes, which I think is getting 23. So you can't be pissed off about something that you knew was coming. And the frustration, he has expressed some frustration about not getting as much playing time. I heard it a couple weeks ago in the same quote where he said that Brad Stevens has the toughest job in the world to try and manage all of this. So I think he's aware of the whole thing. I just don't know if this is something that will linger. And if it lingers and becomes a problem in the locker room, then at that point you have to figure out what's best. Are you going to keep a guy who's good that could help you? Or are you going to say, this guy's too problematic in the locker room and we have to make a move? And I just don't see Terry Rozier becoming that kind of problem. I don't think he's that kind of player. I don't think this locker room's that kind of locker room. So as much as this is a thing that's happening right now, I just don't expect this to become a problem for the Celtics.
Yeah, and that's probably a fair stance to take right now. But it's definitely been, I think, on the Celtics' minds that they have a lot of mouths to feed. And they know that some of the players are going to be like, look at the start so far to this season. How many guys are probably thinking, okay, I'm getting as many touches and as many points and as many shots as I thought I would? I would wager probably no one. Maybe Marcus Morris, and that's it.
Yeah, like that's fair.
You look up and down the roster. Kyrie's points are way down. His usage rate, I believe, last time I checked, the lowest of his career. You look to Jaylen Brown. He's had some struggles. You look to Jason Tatum. He's trying to search for ways to get better shots and hasn't always been successful in that. Al Horford, he'll never complain about anything. He's entirely about the team, but the offense doesn't necessarily run through him as often as it used to. And then you get to the bench and it's like, whoa, there are a lot of guys that are sacrificing for the team. And right now, despite that, the team hasn't played any better than a 49 win pace. And so I think if the wins start piling up, some of the frustration will probably go away. If the offense starts to play at the level it could and probably should, some of the frustration will go away because all of a sudden the scoring totals will look better and guys will feel better about the way they're playing individually. But I do think it's tough for a lot of guys in the locker room to have so many guys who are capable of making plays and playing big minutes. And that's an issue that you could spot coming months ago. And I don't think anything about that has changed. They just have to realize that it's not going to be what everyone wants all the time. It's going to have to be, okay, how do we make this work as a team? And that's going to, I mean, they might be the deepest team in the league. And if they're not, they're close to it. So this is just something they're going to have to deal with and something Brad Stevens probably knew he was going to have to deal with from the start.
I think maybe one of the biggest problems the Celtics have, and it's weird phrasing it that they have a problem like this, but it's that the drop off between there's no real significant drop off from like in their starting five. Like, who's their best player? Kyrie. Who's their worst player in the starting five? Jaylen. Okay, so the drop off from Kyrie to like Tatum is not so significant. Like, it's not like the Warriors who have like these mega stars, or even like the Raptors who are very clearly Kawhi, very clearly Kyle Lowry, and then there's everybody else that's really good. But I think what I'm trying to say here is that it's easier when there's that hierarchy to define roles on a team. And you have like, here's our superstar. He's always going to get fed and no one's going to really complain about that. And here's our second best player. He then gets fed next and no one's really going to complain about that. And then everyone else kind of falls into their roles that supports that. The Celtics don't have that exact hierarchy. And while that means that they're still really good, that also means that a lot more guys still have to fit into some defined roles that aren't really their, that wouldn't normally be their roles maybe on other teams. And I think it's just harder for some of these guys to say, okay, I have to become this kind of role player, but I'm actually better than that. And they might be, but I think the biggest problem for the Celtics right now is figuring out who fits which role. And until they figure out what what that breaks down, how that breaks down, they're going to continue to have these problems. And that's where some of these guys are going to really get frustrated, because they're going to say, well, that's not my role. That I can be bigger. I can be better than this. And the Celtics don't need you to be better than this. They need you to do this one particular job extraordinarily well, and then that will benefit us all.
Yeah, and I think it's going to end up being Kyrie Irving is the guy. And I think when Hayward gets right, more offense will be run through him. But they'd probably be better off right now if Kyrie was just running high pick and rolls a lot with Al Horford, right? Like, that would probably be what's best for right now for winning games at this time. But what's going to make them special in the long run, assuming they reach the special point that they all believe they're capable of, is it's going to be the ability to attack from all angles and the ability to have five guys who can dribble, pass, and shoot and beat you off the bounce and kind of have like the most dynamic starting five in the league. And that's what's going to separate them if they are able to be their best. So some of the struggles are just figuring out how to maximize all of that. And the hierarchy thing may figure itself out. One thing that guys have said, that Jaylen Brown said a couple of times, is that they want to use, or he wants to use at least the Warriors as an example, because the Warriors, like, they figured out where they can all eat. Like, Kevin Durant, he's getting his, and Steph Curry, he's getting his, and Klay Thompson, when he gets bonkers, they feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him. And so Jaylen Brown wants the Celtics to get to that point. Obviously, they're not the Warriors. No one in NBA history has been the Warriors with that much shooting talent. But the idea that everyone can be aggressive and everyone can play like they should and everyone can play with all the aggression and still do it in a team fashion is what the Celtics want to look for and target.
Right. Well, and again, it's a little easier for the Warriors to do that because Kevin Durant, it's easier for Kevin Durant to start going off. It's easier for Steph Curry to start going off, and it's very easy to take a step back. We'll see how that all plays out. But until then, we'll have to deal with some of this frustration. We'll have to see how this all plays out. Again, I do not expect much of a problem from Terry Rozier, and we'll see if he addresses this and what he says regarding this as the road trip continues. Now, this is where I would normally read an ad, but we don't have an ad because we haven't had you email us, you, the business owner who is listening to the Lockdown Celtics podcast. If your company is looking to reach new customers and do it in a new way, podcasts are the way to go. Your company could be mentioned right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcast. Our demographic is 98% men with more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. If that's the group you're going for, email us at LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com to advertise on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Last thing we want to mention here is Jaylen Brown with a very interesting comment here. It's part of a bigger thing, and I've seen some blowback. I don't even know if blowback's the right word, but so he was asked on a Bleacher Report interview with Taylor Rooks what he sees over the next 6 years. And the quote was, I'm not going to jinx myself, but 6 years, I'm going to go and say five or six titles. I'll say that. I don't want to jinx myself, and I don't play to lose. So I'm going to give it five. So Jaylen Brown basically says, when he's asked, how many championships do you think you're going to win? He says, five in a row. So some people have said that that's like some sort of arrogance going on. I think that, what's he going to say? If you're in that position, what's he going to say? Like,
yeah, he was asked straight up, how many titles are you going to have when you're 28? Was he supposed to say, oh, zero? Oh, maybe one or two? No, I'm going to win every damn title.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. So I that was dumb. That was dumb. I was going to say it was It was a question that he couldn't have answered well no matter what.
Right.
So
it reminds me of the story I always tell about when I wrote 28-2 on the board, and my coach asked me, which two games do you think we're going to lose, because I'll sit you those two games. And that's the same thing. Like, every year you go out there, you say, I want to win a championship. With this team, I plan on winning a championship with these Boston Celtics this season. And then next season.
What'd you finish the year you wanted to be 28-2?
I think we won 23, 24. I forget what we won.
All right. That's pretty good.
What did we finish? I don't remember what we finished, but it was less than what I'd projected. But the whole point was, you don't play.
Still a good season.
We had a great season. And we actually lost in the championship game. It's my senior year, but oh well.
Oh, that one still got hurt.
That one still hurts. That stinks. That one really hurts. But it's my own fault for bringing it up. But Jaylen Brown, of course, people are saying, like, arrogant. It's very different from the LeBron when he was like, not one, not two, not three. It wasn't said in the same vein. When you're out there as a player, you plan on winning championships. In Boston, when this team is this good, he's being honest. Our goal every year is to win a championship. I plan on winning a championship each of the next 5 or 6 years. What else is he going to say? And he was kind of laughing when he said it too. So like he knows what he's saying and how he's saying it. So anybody out there that had any sort of issue with that, it's silly. I don't think that it should be any sort of issue.
Yes.
That's it.
Agreed.
All right, Celtics and Suns tonight. Have you heard anything about anybody sitting out? Is Gordon Hayward going to sit this out at all? I only ask because they play Utah on Friday, and I want to make sure that he's playing in Utah.
I mean, he has said he's really excited to play in Utah, so I assume he's going to play in Utah. The plan at the beginning of the season was not to sit Hayward in back-to-backs. Obviously, he did sit one earlier this season. So I don't know if he'll sit. I don't know if they'll limit his minutes. I don't know what's going on. His minutes restriction has been relaxed very slightly, I believe, as he continues to grow a little healthier, a little more comfortable. So we'll see what happens. I assume he'll play in Utah. He said he's had that game circled. He had it circled last year but couldn't play. He knows he's probably going to get some boos and some shit for leaving. But I think he's excited about that one.
It's going to be more than some booze and some shit. It's going to be a whole lot of booze and a whole lot of shit. Like, he's going to get decimated, I think.
Yes. Who would ever want to be excited for a guy for leaving for a better opportunity?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll leave that alone. We're just going to wrap it up here. Celtics Suns on Thursday. Man, I hope this game goes well. The sky will start falling if they don't win this game easily. Everybody's beating the crap out of the Suns. The Nets just beat the crap out of the Suns. If the Celtics don't, then I don't even want to turn on the internet on Friday morning. But I will, because I'm addicted to it, and that's kind of my job now. We'll do that. I'll see you post-game after the Suns. And if you are a new listener, welcome aboard. Thank you. We hope you are enjoying the podcast and enough to subscribe on a regular basis and give us that 5-star rating and a good review. And if you have done all of that, then the next step is simple: to share the podcast. When everybody asks you who they should be listening to, you should be saying the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales.